Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our gospel reading from St. Matthew, the fourth chapter, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. It's the nature of our society to view temptation as well in a positive light. We view temptation as something which makes life interesting, perhaps add a little spice to life through temptation. It can even be entertaining. Just look at all the websites on the internet that one should not look at. Have you ever noticed, too, how society puts more effort into resisting the temptation to eat junk food than resisting the temptation to do things that bring damnation to the soul? This reminds me of a story of a businessman who decided it was time to shed some excess pounds. So he took his new diet seriously, even changing the route he took to work so he would not drive past his favorite bakery. One morning, however, he came to work with a gigantic coffee cake. Everyone in the office scolded him, but his smile remained nonetheless. "This is a special coffee cake," he said. "I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there it was in the window. And I figured that there was a parking spot in front. Well, then that cake was meant for me." And sure enough, 8 times around the block, and there was that parking spot. The truth about our sinful nature is that we, like that overweight businessman, actually, we don't really resist temptation too firmly. But this is Satan's lures. His lures to destroy our relationship with God, destroy our relationship with each other. But our Lord Jesus Christ shows us in the gospel reading today that although the devil tempts us in order to destroy us, we have a Savior who crushes the devil's temptations. But not with his divine power. He crushes the devil's temptation with the same power that he's given to all believers, the power of the Word of God. You should know that in order to tempt us to sin, the devil operates in a threefold manner. He tries to create doubt in God's Word. He makes sin look good, and he mixes truth with lies. Now, the devil's methods have been effective since the very beginning there in the Garden of Eden, where he used those same threefold attack to attack Eve. He created doubt in God's word concerning this tree of knowledge of good and evil when he challenged Eve. Did God really say you should not eat of any of the trees in the garden? Then he mixed the truth with lies in order to further deceive Eve. You won't die. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Finally, Eve looked at the fruit and saw that it was pleasing to the eye and it would make one wise. And she did eat. So the devil succumbed. So the devil had succeeded in making sin look, well, delicious. So Satan uses this threefold attack against us today. He creates doubt in God's word. Life is a gift from God, but the world says abort your child. That's your choice. There's the embracing of homosexual lifestyles and now transgenderism, which is contrary to God's design for male and female. And then there is the acceptance of evolution against all the evidence for creation. And I see so many young Christians avoiding marriage and family these days because they think that that will make them happy. That's the way progressive people live. That isn't the word of God speaking. That's the devil speaking. You aren't here just to live in your 20s and 30s, but you're here to live in your 70s and 80s too. Just go to a nursing home and see those people who, having no children, have now lost their spouse. And now they have no one in their old age. Just imagine, if Christians stop having children, just one generation, there will be no more churches, no more pastors, no more godly people in any profession. This is what the devil wants. He wants you to exchange the word of God for his lies. He wants you to exchange God's wisdom for the foolishness of the world. Then the devil likes to make sin look good. Now, if you actually ate a spoonful of shortening, you would go blah. But bakers can package shortening in dough and sugar that makes it irresistibly delicious. We call them donuts. It's fried fat and bread. So the devil sugarcoats sin to make it look good, to make it look irresistible to our sinful natures. Yet inside is the most dangerous of all things, sin. Sin that rots and destroys the soul. Eve thought the fruit looked wonderful. David thought Bathsheba looked pretty good. But the truth was, it was they were being led into sin. And sin is devastating. Television today slickly displays hundreds, if not thousands, of adultery and premarital sex acts every week, and yet you never see the consequences, the diseases, the unwanted pregnancies, the destroyed relationship. But this is the devil packaging sin to make it look good when the reality is it's horrific. And the devil is a good ad man. Remember that. Ad men can make anything look good. And he mixes the truth with lies. That businessman in our illustration, he just did that. He drove around the parking lot waiting for an open spot so he could justify his desire to break his diet. So Satan hopes to trap us in the same sort of thing by mixing truth with lies, by getting us to somehow justify our desire to fall into temptation. This is tax season. What a temptation to, if you can get away with it, to cheat on your taxes. But what do you say to yourself when you want to do that? Oh, taxes are a form of thefts. The government is corrupt. Social Security won't be there when I need it, so why bother? Whenever we try to justify our sin, we're doing just that. We're mixing truth with lies. So whether it's getting us to doubt God's word or succumb to the appeal of sin or to justify our sinful desires, the truth is the matter, Satan is quite successful in getting us to sin. He knows that sin will divide us from God. He uses sin then to make us feel guilty, hoping that in that guilt we'll turn away from God. That's his act. That's what he does. He wants to destroy faith because he wants you in hell with him. And he knows. He knows your every weakness. He knows that you can't resist him, not on your own. He's too powerful and he's too practiced in his evil for us to stand against him alone. But Satan doesn't stop with us. In his hubris, he even tries to attack Christ, to get Christ to sin. And in our reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the devil uses the same threefold attack he used against Eve and that he used against us. He uses the same attack against Jesus. And why? If he can get Jesus to sin, he's not the perfect Lamb of God. He would derail God's plan of salvation. So Matthew tells us that after Jesus was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed for his work as Messiah. And then he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, during this time, Jesus fasted. He did not eat or drink. And so at the end of these 40 days, he is quite weakened, likely near starvation. And that's when the devil comes with his real zonkers of temptations. That's when the devil likes to attack us, when we are weak, hungry, tired, and sick. He knows how to time his attacks. So the devil begins his attack against Jesus with this ploy of creating doubt. He tries to create doubt in Christ by saying, if you are the Son of God, if. Now, Jesus is pretty hungry, wouldn't you say? What a delicious temptation. You are the Son of God, Jesus. You have the power to turn dirt into bread, stones into loaves of bread. You can do it. Fill your hungry belly. Well, he's asking Jesus to doubt the promises of God. the promises that God provides, protects, and sustains. But how does Jesus respond? He responds with the word of God from the book of Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus doesn't trust his own power, nor does he follow desire of his hungry, growling belly. He remains steadfastly committed to his trust in his heavenly Father and God's promises to care for his every need. Well, foiled, the devil goes to plan B. He mixes truth with lies. The devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and then quotes Psalm 91 like the devil is some sort of scholar of the scriptures. But he does. He knows the Bible better than we do. But this gives him an air of truth and authority. He will command his angels concerning you, Jesus. On their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. That's what Psalm 91 says. But you know what? If we don't trust someone, we test that person, right? Any ice fishermen out here? Do you just walk across the ice and plant your shack? No, you test the ice because you don't trust it. You drill a hole here and drill a hole there until you get till you figure, oh, hey, there's at least 4 inches of ice, I'll be safe. Well, there was a man who didn't really trust a broker, so he said, I'll give you $5,000 to invest for a year. If you're successful, I'll give you a whole lot more money to invest. Well, the broker failed, and he lost the man's business. But the truth is, the man didn't trust the broker in the first place. If Jesus tested God by jumping from that temple, it was the same way of saying, I don't trust God. It's kind of like, prove it, Lord. You say you'll take care of me, keep me from stubbing my toe, prove it. But Jesus responds again with the word of God from Deuteronomy, you shall not put your Lord your God to the test. God is trustworthy and faithful. He keeps his word. So if anything, the devil's persistent. So he turns to plan C to make sin look good. He takes Jesus to a high mountain, shows him all the glory and power of the world, and says to Jesus, hey, this is all mine, but if you worship me, I'll give it to you. Now you have to understand that what the devil is doing is saying, Jesus, you can have all the glory and power without going through the suffering and shame of the cross. That is a very delicious temptation. Which would you choose? The shame of pain and suffering, or political power and glory? Well, indeed, the Prince of Darkness is ruler over this fallen world, but he is not a worthy ruler. He is a usurper of God's rule. He lies to Christ in order to entice Christ to become an idolater and worship the devil for the sake of personal gain. But Jesus won't do it. He remains steadfast to his devotion, obedience to his heavenly Father. Again, using scripture, Jesus says, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then it was kind of shoo, devil. Kind of like the way we shoo a bothersome fly. The power Jesus used to defeat the attacks of the devil weren't his divine power. He resisted the devil with the same gift he's given you. His human nature used the word of God. The same word you have in your hearts, the same word you have in your homes. And yet, Jesus was successful because he is the Son of God. He is perfect in every way, just as the book of Hebrews teaches us. He knows exactly what every human being is going through as we suffer the attacks of the devil. And yet, Jesus did not sin. He did this for you. Because Jesus does nothing in his earthly ministry for himself. It is all done for you. He lives his life perfectly, resisting the devil perfectly for you. He dies on the cross in your place for you. He rises again as the first fruits of the resurrection for you, as proof that you too, believing in him, will rise again from the dead. Jesus does this all for you. And his victory over the devil is for you. Jesus didn't live, suffer, and die for himself. He didn't crush the head of the devil for himself. He did this all for you. Because you can't defeat the devil. But Jesus can. And his gift to you is his victory over the power of Satan. Through Jesus, you have the power yourselves to resist the devil and win. This power comes from the Holy Spirit, who gives you God's word, by which you yourselves can uncover the lies and deceptions of Satan. You can see the dark heart of the devil that wants to kill you, and you can resist him, and you can watch him flee. And that's why we have such a strong emphasis on Christian education in the Word of God here in our church. Because the devil loves ignorance. The devil can easily topple the lazy and the foolish. But the man, woman, or child who is strong in the Word of God, who is armed with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, has a weapon that can cut through the lies and deceptions of Satan, a weapon that can pierce the devil's own dark heart, reveal his shameful lies, and teach you what your heavenly Father desires that you know. So when the devil says that children are a curse, the Word of God says children are a blessing. When the devil says there's joy in keeping up with the Joneses, the Word says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Where the devil says, take care of number one, the Word says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The truth destroys the lies of the devil. Yet we walk in this world as both saints and sinners. We still have the sinful nature that Paul calls that body of death. That's always causing him to sin. The good I want to do, Paul says, I don't do, but the evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. And that happens to us every day in our Christian lives. The devil is successful in getting us to sin, driving us to guilt. And yet, in our guilt, God beckons you to turn to the cross. Turn to Jesus, where the Lord can restore the joy of your salvation, the hope for salvation, and the forgiveness of sin. There you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus over and over and over again every day. And every day you have Christ's full and complete presence. And the presence of Jesus in your lives every day is there to guard you and keep you and the one true faith, and to give you daily victory, not over only sin and death, but over the power of the devil. Beautiful Savior is what we have. In his name, amen. Please stand.